Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel is committed to proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click on the support tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
A lot of people say they are seeking God, looking for God. But what is God looking for? We're going to begin today with a story from the Gospels. It's the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. It's a well-known story in a deep subject, woman at the well, you know. The story begins when Yeshua and his disciples are passing through Samaritan territory on their way back to the Galilee from Jerusalem, and they stop near the Samaritan village of Sychar, where there's this ancient well that the Samaritans refer to as Jacob's Well. And the disciples leave the master to rest there at the well while they go into the village to purchase some food. And while he's sitting there at the well, maybe in the shade, sitting in the heat of the day, out comes this Samaritan woman, and he strikes up a conversation with her, which surprises her because ordinarily Jews don't talk to Samaritans and Samaritans don't talk to Jews. Why? Well, because the Samaritans think that they are the real and true Israel. They're actually a group of a people group that the king of Assyria settled in the land of Israel after he had deported the Jews. They learned the local religion. They began to think of themselves as the real and authentic people of God. And they believed that they had replaced the Jews, so to speak. They believed that they had replaced the Jews and that their religion had replaced Judaism, which sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Think of that. A religion in which the people believe that they have replaced the Jews and become the real people of God in their place. Part of the argument between Jews and Samaritans involved a question of where the temple should be located. The Samaritans claimed that the real Temple Mount was not in Jerusalem, but on Mount Gerizim near Sychar and Shechem. The Jews, of course, knew the truth. They knew that the temple belonged in Jerusalem, where it had always been, on the Temple Mount. So in this conversation, the Samaritan woman, she figures out that Yeshua is, first of all, a Jew. Then she realizes that he's also a prophet. And so as long as she has a real prophet to ask, and a Jewish prophet at that, she figures she can settle this ancient argument that the Jews and the Samaritans have been having about where the temple should be built. So she says, she poses the question this way. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." All right, so which one is it, right? You know, which one is correct? We're going to get this settled once and for all. And Yeshua answers her question with a cryptic answer, referring to the coming destruction of the temple. He says, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You, Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We, Jews, worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." So in other words, if it's a question of who has the truth, it's the Jews. He says, "We, Jews, worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." If you want to know the truth, and you want to know God, that truth is going to come through the Jews. It's not about where you worship as much as it's about knowing the one you worship. And the knowledge of God comes through the Jewish people. John 4:23 says, "An hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So this is what he says. Yeshua says, God is looking for people who will worship him, who will serve him in spirit and in truth. Lots of people are willing to serve God in spirit. This is the person who says, you know, it doesn't really matter what religion you have or what holy days or where the temple is. There really is no one single truth. The important thing is to have the right attitude, the right spirit, the Holy Spirit, a transformed heart, a good attitude, sincere heart, have a spiritual relationship, just more of a spiritual relationship with God. Lots of people are willing to worship God that way in spirit. And then there's lots of people who are willing to worship God in truth. This is the person who says, you know, it's all about believing the right things. You have to believe the right things and do the right things, the right rituals and ceremonies. It's a matter of what is true and what is not. It's very black and white. And if you don't believe what's true, you can't serve God. You can't serve God at all. But here in this story, Yeshua says that God isn't looking for either one of these people to worship him. He's looking for people who will worship him in both spirit and truth, with the right heart and the right head, so to speak. He says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." In the Messianic era, in the kingdom of heaven, everyone will know the truth. As the prophecy says, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. And everyone will worship God in spirit, as the prophecy says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's the way it's going to be in the kingdom. But our teacher says that God is looking for such people to be his worshipers now, today. Think about that for a moment. Ordinarily, people talk about being on a quest for truth or a quest for God. People talk about seeking God or looking for God, trying to find God. Well, it turns out that God is on a quest too. He's looking for people who will serve him, both in spirit and in truth, which means God is on a quest for you. He is looking for you, so long as you agree to value both spirit and truth. Let's talk about the quest for truth. Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. What he meant was, he would rather die than go through life without ever reflecting on life's meaning and purpose. But isn't that what we usually do? We go through our day, day by day, going through the business of life without really stopping to think, to listen, to look, and to consider. Why am I here? What am I here for? What's the meaning of all this? Why am I alive? Why am I conscious? What's my role? What is my purpose? These are the big questions, and they are the type of questions that should be occurring to you in your late teens and early 20s. This is what people mean when they say they're on a quest for truth. Let me tell you about my own quest for truth. Here's how it happened to me. When I was a teenager, my father wanted me to undergo immersion, baptism, which I understood as a public declaration that I had chosen to be a disciple of Yeshua. But I did not want to, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a disciple of Yeshua my entire life. I mean, it sounded like I might miss out on a lot of fun. Did not know if I wanted to be religious. Then one day, I examined things. And I thought to myself, why am I here? Why do I exist? And I inferred the existence of a creator, a God who made me. And like a light bulb, it occurred to me that if that was true, if I have a creator, if God made me, then the only real purpose for my existence is to seek him and to serve him. Nothing else makes any sense. What could be more obvious? And what could be more important than that? Because without him, I would have never existed. So obviously, he holds the meaning to my life. Of course, I grew up in a church as a pastor's kid, hearing all the religious talk. But until I thought things through for myself and examined the matter for myself, it wasn't so compelling to me. I didn't feel any allegiance to religious ideas. But once I saw it, so simple, so clear, if I exist, and I do, and I have a creator responsible for my existence, nothing can be more important than the creator. And that's the realization that set me on the quest for truth about God. And I found that truth, ultimately, in Messianic Judaism, the greatest religion in the world. Like I said in the previous teaching in this series, It's Too Jewish. There are 37 million churches in the world, 34,000 denominations. There's something for everyone out there. But here's what our Master Yeshua says. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Why is that? Why is salvation from the Jews? Well, we get the answer to that question in the book of Romans. Paul answers the question, what advantage is there to being Jewish? And he says in Romans 3:2, great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. And then he goes on in Romans 9 and says, to them belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Torah, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh. All right, let's work through this list. So why is it that salvation is from the Jews? Paul just gave us some reasons. Let's work through them. Number one, first of all, the Jews were entrusted with the Bible. That's what Romans 3:2 says. That means that everything we know about God comes through the Jewish people. It's very common to take the Bible away from Judaism as if they are two different things, but that's not how it works. They're part of the same thing. Number two, second, to the Jewish people belongs the adoption as sons, as daughters, as children, he says in Romans 9:4. In other words, it was the Jewish people out of the whole world that God chose to be his people. So if you want to know about God, who better to ask than his people, his children? Third, to the Jewish people belongs the glory of God. That's Romans 9:4 again. The glory. This means that God chose to reveal his glory to Israel, his presence to Israel. So if you want to know about God, check with the people to whom he revealed himself. Fourth, to the Jewish people belong the covenants, same verse, the covenants, both the old covenant and the new covenant, the Torah, the covenant with Aaron, the covenant with David, the new covenant of the future, which he made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, which all these are made with the Jewish people. So if you want a relationship with God, a good place to start is going to be with the people who have entered into covenants with him. Fifth, to them belongs the giving of the Torah, Romans 9:4. It says the Torah was given to Israel, to the Jewish people. Sixth, to them belongs the service. This is the mode of worship. This is worship. This refers to the sacrifices in the temple, and it refers to the prayers and to the liturgies, to the ceremonies of the Jewish people. The appointed times, the festivals, the times of prayer, all the rituals and ceremonies we use to worship God. Paul says that these were given to the Jews, not to any other people. Seventh, to them belongs the promises. These are the promises of the kingdom, the promises of the Messiah, the promises of the Messianic era, the promise of the resurrection of the dead, the promise of the world to come. These promises were made to the Jewish people. So if we, outside of the Jewish people, want a taste of that, we should be looking at the Jewish people and the Jewish religion. Salvation comes from the Jews. Eighth, to them belongs the fathers. That's Romans 9:5. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The stories of Abraham, the stories of Isaac, the stories of Jacob, the faith of the fathers, and the merit of the fathers. All of that belongs to Israel. As Paul says, the Jewish people are beloved on account of the fathers of Israel. 9. From them comes the Messiah, according to the flesh, it says in Romans 9:5. That means that physically, Messiah is born from the Jewish people and is part of the Jewish people. As he said, salvation is from the Jews. So Messianic Judaism is unlike those 34,000 denominations because Messianic Judaism stays connected to the Jewish people. We don't try to replace Israel or to take the scriptures away from Israel and claim them as our own, or say that we know how to understand the Bible better than the Jewish people. And because of that, we have historical continuity that goes all the way back to Mount Sinai. I'm going to give you 10 reasons that this is the best religion in the world. Number one, because it has historical credibility. If you're looking for truth, the smart money is going to be on something with historical credibility and not something that someone made up recently. I mean, if you're looking for truth, you should be looking for something that has always been true, not something that just recently became true because public opinion shifted. Messianic Judaism is the oldest form of Yeshua faith. In fact, this is the religion that the followers of Jesus practiced before it was called Christianity. And it actually goes all the way back to Mount Sinai. Most other Jesus-following religions can't make that claim because most of them teach that the Torah was canceled by the New Testament and that God broke his covenant with Israel and replaced the Jews with a new people, and that's called replacement theology. And it doesn't have historical credibility. You know how a company or a restaurant will argue for credibility by saying how long they've been in business, like Tom's Plumbing and Heating since 1972 or something like that? Well, we can be proud of our religion and we can say Messianic Judaism since 30 Common Era, because that was the year that our master rose. This is the best religion in the world because it has more historical credibility than any other. Number two, the Bible. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because we have the keys to understand the Bible and make sense of it. The Bible is God's revelation of himself to the world through mankind. It's God saying, "This is who I am. This is what it means to find me and to serve me." So if you believe the Bible, that the Bible's true and that it's a source of truth, then it should be important to you to correctly understand the Bible. And your best chance of doing that is going to be through the perspective of the people who wrote the book. This is the best religion in the world because we have a unique position of being able to understand and explain the Bible from a Jewish perspective. Three, it's counterculture. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's an opportunity to be counterculture. You know the difference between culture and counterculture. The dominant culture is what everyone thinks and says is normal. A counterculture consists of people who hold values and practices which run counter to the dominant culture. And it's always cooler to be counterculture. When I was born in 1968, the dominant culture was being challenged by the hippie counterculture of rock and roll, peace and love, guys with long hair, beards, and bandanas. When I was a kid, the counterculture was the punk rock movement, combat boots, trench coats, leather, tattoos, piercing, and spiky hair. But soon, everyone was doing it, and it wasn't cool anymore. And that's the problem with the counterculture. The counterculture always becomes the dominant culture. Eventually, everyone's getting a tattoo, and everyone's getting piercings. It's no longer counterculture. Messianic Judaism, on the other hand, is the best religion in the world because it will always be counterculture. Until the kingdom. I mean, hardly anyone is doing this religion. It's one of the smallest religious movements in the world, and that makes it cool and mysterious to everyone else if you own it. And it's all about love, which is also a counterculture thing. It's a counterculture of love, like the hippies, like the Beatles said, "Love is all you need." That's our message. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's Messianic Judaism in a nutshell. Number four, it's the religion of the kingdom. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's the religion that the whole world will be practicing after Messiah comes. According to the Bible, everyone will practice Messianic Judaism in the kingdom. And you don't have to be Jewish to have a part in Messianic Judaism because as the religion of the future kingdom, it's going to be the religion of all nations. So even though it's Jewish, it's open to anyone who follows the King of the Jews. Let me explain what the kingdom of heaven is. When the Messiah comes, he's going to defeat the enemies of Israel and the forces of evil, and he is going to establish a new world order. There will be no more war or suffering or injustice. People will live in peace and love and universal hippiness. Things like poetry, art and scholarship will be valued, and things like money, missiles, and political power will be useless. Everyone will know the Lord, and everyone will learn the Torah. The Sabbath will be the Sabbath for everyone. No more events scheduled on Saturday that you can't attend. Everyone will get the holidays off from work, because the Jewish holidays will be everyone's holidays. So when we practice those things now, in Messianic Judaism, we are practicing for the future. Number 5, we have holy stuff. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's not just a belief, it's not just an idea. It comes with all sorts of goodies, holy stuff, that God has set aside from the profane and the normal and declared to be holy, like Shabbat, like the festivals, like the holy days, the prayers, the dietary laws, the mitzvot of holiness. It's the greatest religion in the world because it has all these opportunities to experience Kedusha, to experience holiness and connect with holiness. You don't get biblical holy stuff in other religions. Number 6, we have the Jewish Yeshua. Messianic Judaism is the greatest Yeshua-based religion in the world because it's the only one that has the real historical Jewish Yeshua in view. The Jesus of the church is not the Yeshua of the Bible. If you want to really know the real guy, you have to understand him as a Jew and as the King of the Jews. And you just can't do that outside of a Jewish worldview. Number 7, it has the gospel. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's the only religion in the world teaching the gospel of repentance and the good news of the kingdom as it would have been understood and taught by the writers of the New Testament. Number 8, it's built for failures. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's the only religion in the world to combine the high standards of Torah with the high value of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Yeshua. In other words, it's a religion for people who fail at being righteous and perfect. It's the perfect religion for people who find that they commit a lot of sins, because this religion has a solution for that. Repentance, like the message of the High Holidays. The 40 days of repentance and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, combined with the confidence that our sins are forgiven when we confess them and repent in the merit and virtue of our Master's death and resurrection. Judaism has the repentance message and the holidays. Christianity has the forgiveness in Jesus' name part, but only Messianic Judaism puts them together in this way. And that makes it the perfect religion for people who aren't perfect. Number 9, it's a life changer. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's all about experiencing spiritual transformation, being born again, receiving the Holy Spirit in order to become a more godly person, more like Yeshua, forgiven from sins, yes, but also changed and always changing, always improving, always repenting, always striving to do better and to be better through the power of the Spirit of God that is at work within us through the work of Yeshua. That makes it a religion of hope, where you never give up on yourself. But just like you believe in God, you keep believing in yourself as a new creation because ultimately you have this hope of the resurrection, when God is going to recreate you and upgrade you, human beings 2.0, and that's the spiritual stuff, being in the Spirit. Number 10, truth. Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world because it's all about truth. Most people today don't believe in truth. They're like Pontius Pilate, who said to the Master, "What is truth?" In the world of relativism and multiculturalism, we feel embarrassed about truth because by definition, truth is singular and exclusive. If something is true, it means that other things are not true, and that doesn't always feel comfortable. But here's why Messianic Judaism is offering the truth. Because if the Bible is true and the Jewish people are the people of God, then this is the true religion, whether you like it or not. This is the religion of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are the people of God. And as Yeshua said, the other religions worship what they do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Those are my top 10 reasons that Messianic Judaism is the greatest religion in the world. Number one, historical credibility. Number two, a religion that owns the Bible. Number three, a religion that creates a genuine counterculture. Number four, the religion of the future kingdom. Number five, a religion that creates holiness and has holy stuff, distinguishing between holy and profane. Number six, a religion that presents the Jewish Yeshua. Number seven, a religion that presents the authentic gospel. Number eight, a religion built for failures, normal people with normal imperfections. Number nine, a religion that can spiritually change and transform your life. And number 10, a religion that is true. So here's the question I want to leave with you. Are you the kind of person God is looking for? What kind of person is God looking for again? Yeshua said, an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Those are the people that God is seeking. And our faith is a religion of both spirit and truth.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.